We've got more videos to come, but isn't it great to have our guest speaker with us this morning, Pastor Eric Harrison. Now, Pastor Eric does need a little bit of an introduction because he's just an amazing, him and Chris have just done an amazing job, his wife, who couldn't be with us today. But Eric and Christine Harrison founded C3 Currumbin in 1981. That's incredible in itself, isn't it? We have a group of friends from their home to start with, then to a hall, and now have purchased their own facility. And they have built a thriving and healthy church in one of the most beautiful places in Queensland on the Gold Coast. Who's jealous? And Eric and Chris successfully transitioned their church to Dan and Hannah Gorrie after 35 years in ministry. In 2015. And Eric and Chris have been overseeing C3 in the Philippines for the last few years and have been instrumental in helping us as a church and the recovery of the church too in that area, which is now, I know that C3 Manila is a thriving church again because of Pastor Eric and Christine's great help into that church, which is fantastic. And so I'm thrilled to have such an example of the Christian faith with us today, a true father and a sweet man. Can we stand and welcome Pastor Eric Harrison this morning? Yeah. God bless you, Eric. Go well.
Amen. And after that, I think I'll do a dance just to show that I can do that. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you be seated? Amen. Well, I've sort of done a bit of stuff all over Asia or Southeast Asia, in Indonesia, Malaysia, Burma, and now currently doing most of our stuff in the Philippines. But I just want to thank you as a church because you are participants, along with C3 Oxford Falls, in contributing to the rescue of a church, C3 Metro Manila. And I've got a couple of little still photos. Mine aren't movie pictures because we don't have that technology yet, you know. But do you want to flick those up there just quickly? You've seen these guys here, and you guys give to them. Just flick through them. That's good. Pastor Ronell. And that church was packed out that day. I was there a few weeks back, and they're just handing out all their food, parcels and all these different little gifts. Keep going. Yeah. They do this for about 80 families every week, right? So that's what you do, right? You contribute to that. Just stop there for a moment. That's Pastor Mary Lou. She's just doing a dance, right? She's very, mobile person. And Ronell's singing in the back there. But you see these little boxes here? I don't know, you ever sort of fill one of those up and given them out at Christmas? You ever done that? You ever wondered where they got to? Well, I found out. That's where they end up. Amen. So I'm here to report on behalf of you guys in Samaritan's Purse. That's where they end up. They end up with these guys, right? So that's what you contribute to. And I witnessed that. And this is C3 Metro Manila, all right? Now, this church, when they got me to go over there, was just floundering. They were all young people. Had not been skilled in any sort of area in terms of preaching or organization. And when it started to go down, this is the guy and his wife who are now the pastors there. They were just a part of the team that were there. Keep going through. And see these guys here? This is where this church has got to now because of your contribution there. These kids here are all from the barangay, local barangay, Bakal. Which is what you would call the local community or village, all right? So they can't afford a lot of stuff, so the church is paying for them. There's 10 of them all together. The guy, there's just 9 in that, but they're paying for them to help prepare for their exams to do so they can get into college, into university, because it's the only way they can actually change the lifestyle of their parents, right? So if these guys succeed, then their parents succeed. All right, and so that's where this church has come to over that period of time, okay? And that's one of their connect groups. Their connect groups are flying. They've got about 4 or 5 of those going all over in Manila. And that's us at a post-service fellowship because the Filipinos love food. Amen? And they love to party. And so every time after church, we all go somewhere and, just eat because that's what you do. It's communion. So they just do a great job. Thanks, that's it. Amen. So what a great initiative, Leap into Spring. I mean, you ready to leap? Because I want to tell you, you as a church punch way above your weight. All right, and I sort of think of some of the countries that you're in. I think of Sierra Leone and some of the things that have transpired over there, Liberia, all that sort of stuff. That there's not a lot of people, that are running to go and invest in that country or those two countries because they're risky, right? But you have, right? And you've just responded to what you feel as God calling you to that. And you can change the face of a nation. Sometimes, it's easy to say that. It can just fall off your lips. But I want you to actually think about this. You can actually change the state of a nation. And through your giving, through your prayers, and all that you're committing yourself to. And so I just believe that God's going to do something awesome. Now, I had a dream. This isn't, Mr. King's dream. This is my dream, all right? But it has a relationship to you. And it sounds ridiculous, but bear with me, all right? It was just after Pastor Nigel asked me to come, and I was thinking about going. Anyway, I was asleep. I don't think I'd eaten pizza, and I'm not sure that I had cheese. So, okay, but this is the dream. So you can take it for what you will, and I'll just put some little counters in it. But in this dream, I dreamt this person. And I was related to this church, right? And in this dream, I saw this person, they're sort of shrouded somewhat, but I saw this person handing $1 million check to this church. Wow. Right? That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? All right? So none of us have to believe for that. This is God's thing, so I'm just telling you what I dreamt. All right? And I wasn't going to tell you, but then I thought, well, if you gave me the dream, I'm going to tell you anyway, and whatever happens, happens. You can stone me later. Or you can just send me a small percentage. Right. Whatever the case is. But anyway, I had this dream and I just saw this person it was so clear, $1 million, right? And then the next thing I had, the dream just flicked across and these words kept coming to me. Big doors swing on small hinges. And just kept going, big doors swing on small hinges. And I just asked God, I says, what is this all about? And, and I was just walking, actually, and praying. And I felt God say to me, or just sort of bring some clarity, it could be the corporate giving of everybody to produce $1 million because we are as one man. Amen? Or it could be one single individual. And the other thing I thought about was this, that I felt God say to me, says this, that big doors swing on small hinges. A lot of times what we do is we look at ourselves and we think, what I'm giving is so infinitesimal, it's not making any difference. But big doors swing on small hinges. And we can never discount our contribution. Because if we all contribute, who knows what we might achieve. We may find one man gives $1 million. Amen? And all it is for us to simply lay hold of what God has placed upon our hearts and put before us as a church. So let me just pray. Father, we just thank you that you're our supplier. You bring all that there is that we have need of. You see the need. Lord, we just thank you that we just open our hearts. We're willing vessels to participate in what you desire to do. In Jesus' name. Now, I read this article a little while ago. It was about this gentleman in 1973. His name is Howard Dayton. He was a very successful businessman. And he determined in 1973, he was a Christian, but more focused on his business than on his Christianity. And he decided that he would do a search through all the scriptures to find out How many scriptures were there concerning finance and possessions? He came up with this number, all right? 2,350 scriptures thereabouts that relate to finance and giving. He broke it down into 20 topical applications, which then broke down into 107 subcategories, right? Just about finance. I decided I'd have a look. I opened up this thing because I'm one of these people, you know. Not just going to tell me that, I'm going to have a look and see, you know, does this really pan out? Because they said to me, it also said that there are 500 scriptures thereabouts concerning faith, about 500 thereabouts concerning prayer. And so I had a look through a whole lot of different areas that are related. There are about 700 scriptures related to love, God's love, right, or love in general of people, etc. And so what Dayton came down to, he came down to this realization. He said it literally transformed his entire life from a man who was worshipping money to one who began to serve Christ with far more capacity. He has literally impacted over 50 million people with respect to this. And this is one of his great statements. He realized that money was to be a resource, not to be his source. Amen? That's all money is. All money is about a resource, but it's not to be our source. You know, and the thing is this, is that you and I have this incredible opportunity this morning to just leap into something and transform and change someone's life. It may seem what you're giving is insignificant, but I want to tell you that if you change one person's life, all that one person did, Billy Graham, was one person who got changed. And he has changed millions of lives. Amen. Just one person changing million. Who knows what could happen to you and I? Just don't forget, just do this to me when, all right, because I didn't take a look at what time I started. So I want to share a couple of scriptures to you. If you remember three things today: principle, purpose, provision. Amen? Principle, purpose, provision. There is a principle for what we do. There's a purpose in what we do, and you and I become the means of provision. There's a principle for why we do what we do. There's a purpose in what we are doing, and there is a provision where you and I become a part of that. Now, Jesus, in Luke chapter 16, he told this story. And I like it when Jesus tells a story, but better when he explains the story. So here's the story, all right? So you and I don't have to work it out. What does he mean? You know, he tells a story about the steward who was going to be fired because of the way that he'd been carrying on in the particular way he was running his master's business. So when he realized he was going to lose his job, but didn't have any way that he was going to be able to cater for himself, he went to the various people that owed his master money, and he said to them, listen, let me have a look at your account. What do I owe you? Or what do you owe my master? And he says, oh, we owe him about a couple of grand. And he says, well, just make it 1,500. Another guy says, what do you owe him? He says, about 20,000. Let's just make it 15,000. And he kept adjusting it. This is what it says. I'm just going to pick up the first part. It says this, verse 8, it says, even though his master was defrauded, when he found out about the shrewd way this manager had feathered his own nest, he congratulated the clever scoundrel for what he'd done to lay up for his future needs. This is out of the Passion Translation, all right? That's why I have to speak about it quite emphatically, all right? Because it's passionate. Okay, now, Jesus continued. Now he's going to explain it. He said, remember this. The sons of darkness are more shrewd than the sons of light in their interactions with others. In other words, he's saying the sons of this world seem to have a better grip on what finance can do than we, the children of God, realize concerning what finance can do. We hold it because it becomes our source instead of our resource. Amen? Goes on to say this, it is important, verse 9, it is important that you use the wealth of this world to demonstrate your friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. Then when this world falls apart or fails, your generosity will provide you with an eternal reward. You and I are in the process of preparing for our future, both in this world and in that which is to come. Goes on, verse 10. The one who manages the little he has been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little they will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world? And if you have not proven faithful with what belongs to another, why should you be given wealth of your own? I'll finish off the rest of it in a minute, all right? And I thought about this a great deal. What is it? What's he talking about? If you've not been faithful with that which belongs to another, I want to tell you this. The conclusion I came to out of that, and have for many years, is that the tithe belongs to him. It's not yours or mine. It's not for us to choose whenever we're going to give it. It's not yours or for me to choose, well, I'm going to swing my tithe across to the missions. No. As Pastor Nigel said, if you'd not been given in the tithe, there would be no church here. But the reality is this, that if we have not been faithful with that which belongs to another, why should we receive that which belongs to us? So let me tell you a little story. Kristen and I, we had her dad living with us for about 25 years or more. Because we're looking after him, and he was looking after us. Anyway, he lived with us for a long period of time. We thought, you know, there are a number of times we thought we could have sold our house and relocated, et cetera, you know, sort of set ourselves up for the future. But we didn't feel to do that. We failed to honor him. So he passed away June, a couple of months ago, right? He was 91. Came to Christ 5 years ago. All the preceding time, he would argue against us. He was a good arguer too, right? And so anyway, so the story goes. So what transpired is that when we handed on our church, we decided that we'd get our house all ready for a time when we would be ready to be able to sell it so that, you know, things, you know, if you went into a home, et cetera, et cetera. So we got the house pretty much all ready. And then he fell and broke his leg last year around May. And so he could no longer stand. We couldn't care for him, so he went into a home. We started getting a house all ready to sell. And then we got a phone call late August that asked us, Chris and I, we're just getting ready to sell, put it on the market, asking us if we could go down to Port Macquarie to help a church that was in trouble. It was imploding. And we just said, yep, we're there. So the first day that we were going to fly to Port Macquarie was the first day we were doing an open house. It was the most inconvenient time, right, for a God opportunity, right? Because oftentimes inconvenience are really just opportunities in disguise, right? So we just said, okay, so we got the house all set up for an open home, gave the keys to the real estate guy. He had a set, so we just locked the house up. He'd just come and open it up, do the open home, and we'd be down in Port Macquarie helping this church. We did this for 3 months. Just getting this church ready, so, you know, looking for someone to take over. Over that period of time, while we were busy doing that, God sold our house, right? But not only did he sell our house, I made this statement to Christine. We were driving along, and because people were telling us how difficult this whole thing was going to be, and I said, I'm going to look to selling our house, and on the day it settles, we're going to be also settling on us purchasing a unit, so that you and I are okay. 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 2 car parks. All right, close to the beach. Right? Because impossible. Well, let me tell you, on the day we settled on our house, we also settled within half an hour span, we also settled on our 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 2-car garage unit straight opposite the canal. We can just walk across, put our kayaks in and go paddling. 5-minute walk up the beach to the surf. It's tough. But I say this to you because it says this: if you have not proven faithful that which belongs to another, why should he give wealth of your own? It's seen the most inconvenient time. And it may seem the most inconvenient time for you today with this leap into spring. But I want to tell you that all the way through, I found that God always tests our faith. If you've been faithful with a little, you'll be faithful with the much. God can trust it to us. Amen. It isn't all about money, but it's all about money. Right? Because it takes money to actually impact people's lives. And you have been looking at the lives that have been impacted by what you have contributed. Clean water in a village. It changes everybody's health. That's a phenomenal, incredible thing to do. But it took money. Yet it's not money. It's life-changing in what you do. This goes on to say this: it's impossible for a person to serve two masters at the same time. You'll be forced to love one and reject the other. One master will be despised. The other will have your loyal devotion. It is no different with God and the wealth of this world. You must enthusiastically love one and definitively reject the other. We have to make choices. But I found this, that God is incredibly faithful. Incredibly faithful. In Proverbs 11, verse 24 to 25, it says this: generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. Friends, I'm just believing for the favor of God to fall on you. Because I know he is a good God. And he just wants to favor his people. You got a struggle at the moment. You got a trial. I want to tell you, God's walking it with you. It may not feel like he's there, but I'm telling you, he is. That's the thing that I don't like about God sometimes. I'm going to have a discussion with him when I get there. How come you hide? Because it appears at times that he hides himself from us. My wife has this great message on that. She found out five different things where God hides. All these different things about how he hides. This is the deal. All right? That's the principle. We're faithful with what belongs to another. And we use this worldly wealth so that we can prepare dwellings for ourselves, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Amen? We use it for the extension of the kingdom. Purpose. There's a purpose in all that we do. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through to 10, was a guy who was just ripping people off left, right, and center. But the reality is this, that when he saw Jesus and couldn't quite get to him because he was being held back, he gets up a sycamore tree, Jesus walks past, calls him down by name. God knows us, people. God knows us. He knows exactly where you're at. I want to tell you, God's hands upon your life. You're going to get a surprise from him. I see God coming into your world in a far more significant way than you've seen to date. Get ready for a surprise. He's coming your way. That's all right, isn't it? I can do that. Muck about a bit with the prophetic. If you stand out to me, I'm going to speak over your life. He is such a good God. Zacchaeus realizes who Jesus actually is. This is his statement. If I've defrauded anyone, I will pay back fourfold. Right? And I will give half of what I have to the poor. Now, Jesus says he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus connected his giving, right? He connected his giving to a purpose greater than himself. And that's what we're doing. This is the deal. In Matthew 28, 9, it says, therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is what you guys are doing with missions. Liberia, Sierra Leone, the Philippines, you know, changing people's lives. You're connecting yourself with something greater. Something that knits you to a community. The we is greater than the me. Amen? The corporate effort is far greater than what the individual can do. But when we corporately buy into a vision that looks to transform and change people's lives and change their world, we knit ourselves to one another. We knit ourselves to a vision not only in terms of what's overseas, but also in terms of our local community, of reaching them. Because once you start buying into what God is involved in, you find that your heart travels into all those places. So here it is. All right? Provision. The word pro, if you look it up in the dictionary, means for. For. That's what it means. Right? So provision. I'm for the vision. I'm for the vision. But I'm not just saying it. I'm investing in it in real terms. I don't have any actual cash on me. Has anyone got a $100 note? 50? 20? 5? A dollar coin? 50 cents? Anyway, if I had one, I would show you. We look at it as a piece of paper, but it's not really a piece of paper. When you actually look at it, what it actually says, it talks about hours of your life. It's just in monetary terms. But it all speaks about hours of your life. For some of you, it's 1 hour. For some of you, it's 5 hours. For some of you, it's 10 hours, depending on what you're paid. And for some, it's a greater level of sacrifice than it is for others. Provision, we're for the vision, for transforming lives. We make a choice. I'm either going to be a conduit or a dam. We went to Israel in 2014, my wife and I. Went to Galilee, went to the Dead Sea. Dead Sea was fun, but don't get that water on your face because it burns, right? Sea of Galilee, we went swimming in the Sea of Galilee. There's fish in that sea. It's beautiful, fantastic. What are we going to be? We'll either be a conduit or a dam, all right? We can either allow it to flow through us or not. I have this little saying. It's not original. It's not mine. Someone else said it, but I just took it. But I'm just telling you so that you don't think he's an incredibly bright person, all right? If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. It's not a scripture, but it may as well have been, because it's the truth concerning our ability to be generous. If God can get it through you, if you're not going to be a dam, but you're rather going to be a conduit that God can cause it to flow through you, he will get it to you. We all have fear of lack. I think it is part of the human condition. But you and I are no longer just people traveling in this world. We are people traveling with God, and he is our great resource. Amen? He is our source. He allows it to flow through us. So if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you, without a doubt. And there are people here right now. You have businesses that are struggling. And I want to tell you, if you make a determination in yourself, God, I'm going to cause my business to be a source of releasing your resource. I know that you will come through on my behalf. The horrible thing about all of this is that it takes faith. But God's real. I can testify to that. He has sustained Chris and I over all these years. And one of the best for us was seeing what he did for Chris's dad. When he fell and broke his leg, we thought this is going to be awkward trying to get him into an aged care facility. And this is what transpired. A lady, they said he can only stay in transitional care for a brief period of time. You've got to find a place to shift to. This lady rang Chris just after we had that other phone call. This lady rang Chris and says, we've got a place for your dad. It's down where you live. They just take people. He wasn't a wealthy man at all. He just was going to use his pension to pay his way through it. And so we went down and had a look. It was a 5-star place. And he got in there. 5 minutes. I thought you were waving. I'm just about there. God takes care of us. He moved in there because God takes care of us. Looked after him. right? He was there for about a year. So it starts with us. Big doors swing on small hinges. Don't look at what you have got or what you haven't got. Look at what God quickens to your heart. Amen? Look at what God quickens to your heart. Let me conclude with this. This comes out of this scripture comes out of 2 Corinthians 8, verses 11 through to 12. Remember this, the principle, right? We've got to be faithful to that which belongs to another. The purpose, we have a vision, right, that we're going to do something about and connect to. Provision, that's us. That's our part. Amen? Let me conclude with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 11 through to 12. You should finish what you started. You are so eager in your intentions to give, so go do it. Finish this act of worship according to your ability to give. For if the intention and desire are there, the size of the gift doesn't matter. Your gift is fully acceptable to God according to what you have, not what you don't have. And a lot of times what we do is we find ourselves feeling like we're pressured to give way beyond what we actually have. That's not what God's asking you to do. He's not asking you to give in accordance with, this is the size of my credit card. If you can't meet the debt, don't do it. But if you've got a credit card and you can meet that, and God's quickening you that way, that's you. But you don't give beyond your capacity to realize the debt. And that's why the scripture says, your gift is fully acceptable to God according to what you have, not what you don't have. Let me just close in prayer before I hand back to Pastor Nigel. Father, I just thank you. Now, Lord, you are the one who speaks to our hearts. You're the one who stirs us. Lord, you are the one who actually sees all of those in need all around this world. And God, we are all part of being part of that provision. I pray that you'll quicken our hearts, Lord, in accordance with what you want to do in us and through us for others. We thank you, Lord God, that not only will these doors swing wide with respect to providing for others, but those doors will swing wide in accordance to your provision for our lives as well. I just pray your blessing on this church, on Pastor Nigel and Andrea, on the team, over this great time of leap into spring. Lord, that it would just be exceptional in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.